Welcome to another episode of Thoughts of a Techno Wizard. It is Friday, July 14th, 12:40 p.m. 2023. Ooh, buddy, another nice day out here. Sunny. Got some nice clouds in the sky. Not too hot, but it's a good amount of warmth, you know. So it's pretty nice. This week has been weird. Ever since I got back from New York, I've just been feeling really restless. At the same time, as really tired. And I don't know. I feel like these things are connected, but maybe not. So I'm going to try to work through that feeling today. So generally, I already know myself enough to know that when I'm restless, it's because I want to do something. More so, there's a lot of things I want to do in life, but this feeling of restlessness usually happens when I feel like the world should be so much better, and you know, I can help it be better, but I just don't know how. Or rather, I know what I want to do, or I know what can or most likely will help things along, but I don't know how to go about it, right? Like, I don't know how to make it happen. And it's very frustrating for me, because I'm just like, just go do it, right? Just try things and see what happens. But I don't know, it just never turns out that way. Like, maybe part of it is impatience. Part of it is just me not being patient enough to even want to do the things that I know I should and really can. The only things I can start with, which is like, you know, doing a very simple, small steps, like, you know, writing something up, talking to people. That's pretty much it. The most that I can, like, the level of my skills and resources right now is such that the only things I really can do is like write something up and talk to people about it, and hopefully find more people that's more talented, more connected, more resourceful, that can make it go further, that can do more stuff. But that's very frustrating for me, because like I feel at least that I'm a builder, I'm a creator, but I'm so, like, I feel so insufficient, so unskillful, so incapable that I can't actually build anything. Like, you know, I'm not a coder, I'm not a 3D modeler, I'm not an artist. So the things that I can build, I feel very limited and feel like very insufficient. You know? And that makes it really frustrating for me. And I feel like in response to that, I just kind of shut down. I just get very tired. So I kind of like do my work, do the few things that I signed up to do already, and just lay about, you know. And that's it, you know. Spend time with the family and my partner a little bit, watch some things. But then that just makes me feel even worse, because I'm like, I'm not actually doing what I want to do. So I feel even more restless. And then more tired. So it's kind of like a downward spiral there. So yeah, like, I feel like that's probably it. Like, this is why I do this podcast. It took me... I've been thinking about this for a while, like last 2 days or so. And it felt like I would have to spend a long time trying to work through all that. But no, like, that's pretty much it. It's funny sometimes how, like, saying things out loud just kind of cuts through the crap that's in your brain. Like, when I'm thinking about this stuff, there's so much that I'm trying to put into it, but also so much that's hard for me to even think about. That's not quite true. It's more like since I don't have to put things to words in my mind, like I could just go with the feelings and the thoughts, the whatever substrate that we call thought, right? Like, it's weird. Like, sometimes you do have words in your mind, sometimes you have pictures in your mind, but oftentimes, at least with me, there's just kind of feelings in a way, or like knowing, right? Like, you kind of know what you're trying to say in your mind to yourself. And yet, at the same time, even though it feels like so much more exact and so much more precise, at the same time, it doesn't actually feel, or when you actually put those thoughts and things like that to words, you realize that it wasn't as substantial as you thought it was. Or at least that happens with me, right? So I've been thinking about this feeling and what I can do about it for the last couple of days. But just now, I'm just like, oh, damn, that was actually pretty simple to put the words. And I know what I need to do. I just need to shut the fuck up and talk to people and write stuff. And yeah, it's hard. It's frustrating. It's annoying. I wish I could do more. I wish I was, like, more talented. But alas, such aren't my gifts. And I know who I need to talk to, or at least I have a pretty good idea of the types of people I can talk to have things move forward, or at least see what comes next. So I just need to go ahead and do that. I need to write more stuff up, more design specifications, which I don't mind doing, because some of it can be visual, which kind of gets at that feeling of creating stuff. It's weird. I know that writing is also creating, but to me, it just doesn't feel as good as actually having something like visual. So that's why I get like reluctant to write sometimes as well, or very oftentimes. I've written so much, but it just doesn't feel like enough, and never feels like enough. So I get frustrated with writing, and I just want to do something visual, but I don't really have many visual skills, so that can be very frustrating once again, right? It just adds to the pile of frustration. But yeah, that's that. I guess to get more detailed about what I want to do. So I think the reason why I felt like this coming from New York is because New York is way more walkable than Georgia. Right, at least New York City. And I believe I mentioned this in the last podcast when I talk about my trip, but it just goes to show that it is possible, right, to have this walkable community, and it does indeed feel really good, right? It is a great environment to be in, right? The ability to just walk to your local grocery store or a deli or whatever, all these mom and pop shops, and walk around and see all your neighbors and have people live close together, all this other stuff, is indeed pretty awesome. And what makes New York so difficult is not that. It's the fact that you have all this freaking privatization going on. You have all these rich people who want to buy up a bunch of property and, you know, jack up the prices, making it really difficult for your average person to live there comfortably. And that's what makes New York so difficult, right? That's what makes it so expensive. That's what makes it so cutthroat in some ways, right? It's an attractive city because of this density, but it's a hard city to live in, an expensive city to live in, because of capitalism, because of privatization and commodification and private property and all that bullshit. Because certainly not because of density. Like, there's other places that are fairly dense, maybe not as big as New York, but are also really just as dense, but are not expensive to live in because they don't have as much private property, or they have other ways of ensuring, you know, certain property stays affordable. Like in other countries, I've heard about, not sure if it's Korea or Japan, it might be Japan, where even though it's far, far more dense than New York, they actually have a lot of property that is either for free or like super cheap for people to just live in or buy or use for whatever purposes. And of course they have mixed use zoning, so you can have like your they do in New York too, but they don't here in Georgia, where you can have like, or most places in Georgia, in Atlanta. But yeah, you can have your residential and your commercial in the same area. But in Japan, they have these areas that are, you know, free or cheap to use because they want to encourage people to, you know, take care of these buildings, like do maintenance on them, stuff like that. And instead of buying new property or building new property, to use these older ones. Because the people are trying to like buy up new land and turn it to some luxury place and stuff like that. But the government doesn't want that because it, you know, makes it harder for most people to live there. So they have these incentives that make it more affordable. And on top of that, I think it's also in Japan, but maybe I'm pretty sure it's in other places as well, where they have like these kind of, like these unions in a way, like these unions or co-ops of residential people, like people in a residential area would come together to either purchase this like a property and keep it cheap, or overall just kind of like, you know, lobby. I'm not sure if they have lobbying over there, like advocate for lower rent and stuff like that. So they have multiple ways of making it affordable. But yeah, all that, you know, just got me thinking. I'm like, man, we could be doing so much better here in Georgia, like especially in Atlanta. There's so much fucking land everywhere, right? Not just outside of the city, but inside. Inside the city, there's a bunch of abandoned property, like these old warehouses that nobody, like it's literally just been sitting there, just abandoned for decades. And it's just there for quite a while. And like I was saying in my podcast where I was walking on the Beltline, a lot of it is very historically significant. But it just sits there, just kind of wasted land, until some rich person buys it up and turns it to a fucking brewery or something. that's really frustrating. But we could be turning these into community centers or urban farming areas or mixed, you know, living areas where people can live there and have a little shop and stuff like that, right? We could be doing a whole bunch of that here in Atlanta, because it's not as dense as New York, and it's going to be very, very difficult to make it that dense, to make it that walkable. So at the very least, what we could do instead is have these like zoned areas, or these like, you know, kind of districts in a way, in which there are self-contained communities. Because, you know, it's difficult for you to be able to walk, for instance, from even in areas like this, like in the Beltline, for instance, right? There's areas that's very hard to walk because of how the city is designed. Like you would have to go across the interstate and all this other stuff just to get from, you know, two areas, two neighborhoods that are actually fairly physically close. Like you can drive there like 5 minutes or less, but it's difficult, if not impossible, to walk there. And so I think instead of trying to build up, you know, this super walkable area, which I definitely want us to get to, but instead of trying to do that first, instead we can use these, all these abandoned properties that are there, to have these, you know, kind of localized communities where people can live in this, you know, this warehouse, or this, you know, these warehouses that used to be just abandoned, and you can turn them into living and growing spaces. So that way you have these self-contained communities where people can, you know, live in a more walkable environment. And then on the other side of that, the flip side of that, is the rural areas outside of Atlanta, which have a lot of really great, you know, old growth forests or farmland. A lot of that is actually being used. They're just cutting down the trees and all this other stuff, or you know, the fields, to build fucking suburbia. More suburbs where houses are super close to each other, to the point where you can spit on your neighbor's window. Like, it's literally that close. It's super ridiculous. Even my neighborhood, which is, once again, almost an hour outside the city, the houses are fairly close to each other. Like, it's not dumb close. Like, you can't spit to the other window, but you can definitely see inside the other person's window, like, right next to you. Like, there's maybe, like, what, 20, 30, maybe 50 feet in some places, but mostly around 20 to 30 feet. Okay, maybe 40 feet, you know, between houses, right? So it's not that much space. They're like, these houses aren't spaced that much apart, right? And to me, it's always weird to live in a place that's so rural that you can't actually walk to a store, but you don't actually have a lot of land, right? Like, we have a decent amount of land, don't get me wrong, it's like, it's way more than anything in New York, but it's not like an acre, right? Like, you can't like grow a farm. You could do some gardens, of course, which is pretty nice. Like, you can do a good amount, but it's not like an acre of land, right, all around, which there's plenty of spaces like that here in Georgia. Like, if I go, you know, if I drive like literally 2 minutes down the street, I'm passing fucking farmlands where there's people have cows and horses and stuff like that. Like, it's that rural. Like, it's weird to use the word rural here, because it's not exactly like as rural as actual rural Georgia, where the nearest town is like 20 minutes away, right? It's nothing like that, but it's still so much freaking space out here that it makes no sense to have these super dense, or quote unquote dense, suburban neighborhoods, but there's nothing else around. Like, again, the nearest Walmart is 10 minute drive. The nearest store, like, only stores you can walk to is freaking two gas stations. All right, and I think there's like a pizza spot and a Chinese spot. That's pretty much it, right? And the Brewster's, all right. And that's a lot for Atlanta or Georgia, kind of metro Atlanta, you know, neighborhood. Most neighborhoods don't even have that that you can walk to, all right. The last neighborhood I lived in, the only thing that you can walk to is a gas station. So it's so weird that we have so much space and yet it's being used in the worst way possible. All right, when it comes to metro Atlanta, these areas outside of the city, I would instead suggest or try to advocate that we build, once again, these local towns, right? Where instead of this fucking suburbs, instead you can have like a mixed zoning area where you have, you know, you can even have plots of land, that's big plots of land, and you can do all sorts of stuff on them. Or you have a more dense neighborhood that's not just residential houses, that's also shops, right? So that way, in your neighborhood, in your neighborhood, not outside the neighborhood, not 2 minute walk, not 5 minute drive outside, no, in your neighborhood, you have shops that you can walk to. You have shops where people can work at. Right, you can even have a community center and a data center where you have like internet control and access to in that, you know, local area. That way, people can actually have real community within these spaces, not this, you know, facsimile, however you say that damn word, this facade of community, where these neighborhoods imply that you live in a community, but you don't actually have any incentive to talk to your neighbors. And of course, local parks, right? That's another thing that's missing in most of these neighborhoods. You have no local parks. The closest thing you might have in a lot of these neighborhoods is a pool and maybe a basketball court or a tennis court or something like that. But that's usually in the richer neighborhoods, right? Like, my neighborhood is decent. Like, there's a lot of middle class people here. And so we have like a pool and a tennis court, but nobody pretty much uses it. Like, the pool is only open like maybe 2 or 3 months of the year, which is insane, because like It gets warm out here from like, you know, March until goddamn October, but yet the pool is only open in, from like maybe June to August or something like that. You have to have a pool card, which is stupid because there's literally no other neighborhoods around here that can just walk into the pool. So if you like you lose your pool card like we did, you have to wait until they send you another one, which can take weeks because we're still waiting. And even so, like, most people just don't use the pool for some reason or another. Like, it's mostly because it's not like it's not easily walkable. Like, technically you can walk to the pool, but it's not like centralized in the middle of the neighborhood. It's like near the front. And then we have this annoying lifeguards who are always like really anal for no reason. So it's just strange all around. And like, I've never seen anybody use the tennis court. So that's already a bust. And this neighborhood that when my mom's friends live in, they live in a little bit better neighborhood with a little bit bigger houses. And they have a freaking lake right next to their pool area. Their pool is a little bit bigger. And they have basketball courts, and there's more people that, you know, goes to those areas. But there's no like playground. There's no like over there they have like a little walk, like a walking trail type of thing. But there's nothing like that here in my neighborhood. And that's it, right? Like, there's no other community center things. Like, you would see, like, in many of these apartment complexes, for instance, they have, like, a, you know, you have, like, your entertainment area where people can go and play games. They have bingo night or this, that, and the other, you know. But there's nothing like that in these neighborhoods, which is weird because you would expect, you know, if you live in a suburb, you know, and you want to have this sense of community, then you can have these regular events there. And maybe, like, people can organize them if they really wanted to. But again, there's no incentive. There's no natural way in which people would go about doing that. Because there's no real reason to meet up with your neighbors, right? And the HOA is just there for give you stupid fines and stuff like that. Complaining about your blinds or your grass or your garbage can. All right? They're not... over here, you know, organizing events for the community to come together and nothing like that. They're just there to collect money and be annoying. So it's, and this is not, you know, weird to just my neighborhood. Like, this is true with almost all HOAs across the state that I know of. And it's probably true across many states in America. So it's really, once again, frustrating to live in such a dead space, such a dead, you know, sense of community. It's like zombified sense of community. Kind of got off track, but what I was saying over there with like the land is that it's really terrible that they're bulldozing all this land. Like, they're building another neighborhood. Like, I can see it through somebody's backyard. They're building another neighborhood that's not connected to this one. So that's another weird thing. Like, they have these bunch of these like closed off suburbs, but they build them close to each other, but you can't actually walk from one suburb to another. So it's kind of antisocial with that again. But yeah, they're building another suburb right across the street, basically not across the street, but like, I don't know how you call it, like behind this suburb. And I say it like that because you can't actually walk across the street. You have to, like, there's no sidewalks to get there. There's no streets. Like, you have to get in your car and drive all the way, you know, to the other side in order for you to see what's going on over there. And many of these suburbs are like that, where you have, like, this self-contained area, a few streets, and they're all closed off. Only one or maybe two ways in or out of the neighborhood. But yeah, they cut down all these trees over there. They're going to build another suburb over there. For what? For what? Like, there's no other stores. There's no other, you know, amenities going on over here. If you want to get to the closest amenity, you have to get on the highway or, you know, one of the popular streets and drive 5-10 minutes, 7 to 10 minutes, 15 minutes or so to get to the local, you know. Like, there's a lot of stuff happening on, like, further in McDonough. But again, it's about a 10-minute drive. And there's a whole bunch of traffic because all these suburbs, like there's a ton of these suburbs in this area, and they all have to go to these one or two areas in order to get anything, in order to get to anything. And so there's always traffic going down there, so you don't really want to go down there. So once again, it's really antisocial. So I just wish that instead of cutting down all these trees for these useless ass neighborhoods and these houses that are too close together for no reason, instead we should be building, you know, little farming communities or something, little forestry communities, right? We should, you know, have denser neighborhoods that instead of having each of these individual single family houses, you have multifamily houses, you have mixed, you know, apartment buildings that can be good, a good size. Like I like having a good amount of space. It's quite nice, but you know, there's no reason why everybody needs to have a single family house, right? If instead you had multifamily housing or these better looking communities like they have in Barcelona or something like that, where you have like a like maybe 3 to 4 floors or something like that, or maybe even up to 5 floors. But you have like a little park in the middle of the complex, and you know, everybody, every building or every unit has this like a nice little patio and stuff like that, has a nice amount of space on the inside, nice amount of windows on both sides so you can see, you know, some good views. That would be way preferable because you use way less land and way less resources, less infrastructure and yet you can fit more people in, and it's more social, right? And again, you can still have your single family houses, but instead of these useless ass suburbs, instead you can have them in actual half an acre or acre of land type of deal, where you actually have some land to play with, and you can build, you know, you can have your own food forest, you can have your own mini garden, your own mini little farm or something like that if you wanted to, right? Or you can just, you know, whatever, do whatever you want with it. But the point is that you're not living, you know, neck to neck with another, you know, house that looks just the same as yours, that has, you know, just the same useless yard, which you're not doing anything with, and you're wasting all these resources, right? If you're going to have a single family house, at least give it enough space to breathe, right? So I feel like these suburbs are like a halfway house. Like, they're just the worst of both worlds. If you want to live in a single family house, then live in a single family house, right? Have your own land instead of these, and you know, living in a suburb. And instead of these suburbs, you should have, you know, more walkable suburbs where you actually have stuff going on there. You have, once again, stores and parks and amenities. But yeah, I have all these ideas, but I really want to be able to move forward on them. So I need to get going some more on my ideas here. The Solarpunk software and this resource repository stuff I have. So I'm gonna write more of these details down and just reach out to folks and just see, you know, where it goes from there. I think I mentioned this before, but turns out there's actually an organization here in Georgia or in Atlanta that has that is trying to build mixed zoning housing and trying to really use these land trusts where people can pull together resources to have a land trust, and then you can live there for free or something like that. So I'm gonna reach out to them too and see what's going on there. I'd love to get more involved and see how we can, you know, grow that sort of thing and add more to it. But yeah, there's just so much stuff I want to be able to do, and I feel so restless, so impatient and frustrated. But hopefully we can do it, get moving. As I walk back to the house, I guess I'll share a few ideas I've had, if I can remember them. There was some ideas I had about, like, you know, better use of like police service, police type services. So big thing people say about, you know, why you can't get rid of the police is like, oh, what if you need help, blah 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 blah. But in actuality, there are quite a few really interesting projects going on, ongoing, and have been, you know, people have been doing in the U.S. for over a decade now, where instead of when you call 911, instead of it going to the police, it goes to or maybe it's another number, I don't quite recall, but either way, it goes to like a local community center of some sort, where people can, you know, basically triage the situation and see what you actually need. Because it turns out a lot of people who call 911 don't actually need the police, right? They might need mental counseling or mental health counseling, or like help with like a fire in which, you know, the fire folks come, or, you know, a tree fell down or something like that. Or, you know, any number of things that's not actually, you know, crime related. And even things that are crime related, the like domestic violence, for instance, oftentimes is either not reported or the police don't come until after the crime has already happened. And then when they do, they're over there looking for quote unquote evidence. So they're not actually, you know, helping the victim. And oftentimes the victim is not listened to or further victimized, or, you know, the situation is made worse. So instead, these communities, you know, like I said, they triage the situation, see what resources they can get in. But I was also thinking that in case of like domestic violence and things like that, there should be like a ability, like a tool, like a small, subtle, like a button or something like that you can carry around, right? So women in trouble or kids in trouble, whatever, you know, they can easily just carry around this little button and press it when they're in trouble, and like the people who they trust in the community are alerted to it and can instantly come and see what's up, right? That way you're not waiting on some goddamn police who don't even live in the neighborhood. They're like, you know, 5, 10, 20 minutes away. So the people in the community are actually there, and because it's people in your community, it's people you trust. Like, they know what's going on, they know who you are, they know what you've been dealing with. Oftentimes you can, if you live, especially if it's a more dense area, you've heard something, right? You've heard arguments, you've heard this and that, so you already know that, oh, okay, this woman, she needs help, or this kids, they're always being yelled at or whatever, right? So they can probably step in more tactfully, but also more effectively, and I think that would be very useful for a lot of folks. So that's something I want to explore. And then another thing is, you know, on a kind of different topic but still kind of community related, is the idea of different economic systems, where instead of you having a market where you need to buy and sell things with money, instead you can just, you know, have everything there for free if you want. But in order to keep stock of like inventory or to get like data of what's effective and things like that, you can have people opt in to share history of the transaction, to say, okay, I bought, you know, I you know, this person has like a bunch of apples they were giving out, and I picked up an apple, maybe I gave them, you know, some other stuff in return, or maybe not, but either way there's a history of that transaction. So that in the future, you can say, okay, how many apples did I give this year? You know, who took them, or what did they take them for? Or, you know, what days were the best times? What were the worst? This, that, and the other. Because data is important, right? But it's really ridiculous that there's a monopoly on that data, right? Like, the only really big companies can get access to that sort of data. And they do so, you know, without asking very often, most of the time. So instead, I think it would be cool if we have some sort of tool where any person that has like a little shop, or just giving things away, whatever, right, can employ this kind of low effort system that is also consensual, where people can just say, yeah, I'll share this transaction, right? And some people may not share it, and that's fine, but I feel like a lot of people would, just because, you know, people are actually pretty nice. And people are actually pretty curious when you give them that opportunity. And when you explain to them what's happening and what is entailed, you know, with different things. And when they're not fucking always stressed out about, you know, having to pay for bills. So if they're already getting something for free or cheap or something like that, most people would be like, oh yeah, I would like to see how we can help out or give back or whatever, help you out in the future. So I think that sort of thing would be very interesting, very cool to see. So like, you know, your local grocers or, you know, people who like to give that stuff away. It could be used for like nonprofit organizations who like to give like coat drives or, you know, school supplies or whatever. Or it could be used for, you know, your grandma who likes to knit for people, or, you know, your mom who likes to garden for people or whatever, right? They can get this information. If they want to have like their own little store, their own little shop, they can be more educated or have more data to back their stuff up, so they can understand what's happening. And yeah, I just think it'll be cool, useful, helpful, and local. And I think that those are the sorts of uses for technology that we need more of, where instead of you trying to scale up to this massive, you know, thing and you know, extracting all this data and all this other stuff, instead you create these little systems, these little simple but, you know, effective ways for people to opt in, for people to share, for people to learn as well. And making it easy for your everyday person to understand the data, to manipulate the data, empowers more people to participate in the technology. Instead of them feeling like consumers or feeling like just non-technical people and they can't, you know, mess with this stuff and they're needing to have some specialized coder to do everything. Instead, you know, they can just understand, oh yeah, I sold this amount of apples or I gave away this amount of coats. You know, you can have a very simple data visualization chart that says, okay, yeah, this was a good time, this was not. You know, keeping it real simple for people. I think that can go a long way as well towards just making the world just a little bit better. But yeah, those are some ideas. I'll end it there. Try to get back to making things shake, making things move. And yeah, as always, thanks for listening. Thanks for thinking with me. Don't be afraid to be radical. Don't be afraid to be revolutionary. Keep being awesome. And have a great day. See ya. Bye-bye.